Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorized reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
Shares for beginners. Weekend watch list.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist, where we take a close look at an individual company that you may wish to consider for your watchlist. It's not a recommendation to buy, but a way for you to learn how Stockopedia screens for value. Joining me today is Chris Batchelor, and we're talking Dicker Data Limited, ASX code DDR. G'day Chris, how's it going?
I feel very well, thanks. Great to be with you again today, and hello to all the listeners.
Thanks very much for coming on. It's always good to talk about a founder-led business, isn't it?
Indeed. In fact, a lot of my favourite businesses are founder-led.
So tell us the Dicker Data story, Chris.
Yeah, sure. So just a bit of background, Dicker Data is a distributor of IT hardware and software and cloud products. What that means is they source products from all the world's leading technology companies, the likes of Microsoft, Dell, Cisco, HP, and VMware, which is a big cloud business. They then distribute those products, but not to you and I. They distribute them to resellers. And typically, those resellers are IT service providers, systems integrators, governments, education providers. And they've got some 8,000 resellers in their universe. So the company itself was founded by David Dicker and named after himself, along with his former wife, Fiona Brown. And Ms. Brown remains a director on the board. Now, they founded it way back in 1978 together and then listed it on the ASX in 2011. And it's worth noting that the co-founders between them hold about 62% of the company's shares, about half of those to each person. David Dicker has actually sold a small portion of his shares during 2023, which I think may be the first time he's done that. And there's also an agreement between Mr. Dicker and Ms. Brown, which gives David Dicker the right to vote Ms. Brown's shares. So that effectively gives him control over the business because he's controlling about 62% of the voting rights.
Do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, is liquidity affected by the amount of shares on offer that are owned by Dave Dicker?
Yes. So the answer to that question is both. It does affect liquidity when you've got that bigger holding held in one person's hands. There are questions around governance, which some people do raise. I hear those questions. I tend not to feel that they are a major concern. David Dicker would argue that the shareholders, other shareholders' interests and his interests are very tightly aligned, and therefore decisions that he makes for the business to prosper are going to help them to prosper as well. That's all true, as long as he runs it in such a way as he's running it for the whole shareholder base and not just to his own advantage. And it appears that he is when you look at things, but they're the things that people typically wonder about when there's such a dominant founder running the business.
What do the financials look like? And we've got to put the caveat on that the full year results are actually due on February 27th. So there might be a little bit of a lag in these financials.
Yes, although interestingly enough, not as much of a lag as you typically get because they issue quarterly reports, which is quite unusual for an Australian company. So we do have a fairly good view as to what the December year end results might look like, based on the fact that we've already seen 9 months worth of results. And the financials are really attractive. Since they listed this company 13 years ago, the share price has grown from around 25 cents to $11.40. And that equates to a compound annual growth rate of around 21% per annum. If you look back just over the last 5 years, the sales have been growing at a compound annual growth rate of 19%. They've gone from about $1 billion in 2015 to an expected $3.2 billion in 2023. We actually selected this stock as one of the components in what we call our NAPS portfolio. So that's like our top 20 stocks for 2024. And it was one of the top two technology businesses that made it into our portfolio. So if we look at the 9 months of data that has been reported, sales to the end of September had grown by 8% compared to the same period in the prior year. Particularly important is not just sales are growing, but earnings per share are also growing, again, at around 20%. That's over a five-year period. So it's always good to see that that sales growth is translating to the bottom line. Sometimes if you get high sales growth and then you look a little deeper, you see that they've made a whole lot of acquisitions and that profits to shareholders haven't actually changed much. But that's not the case with this business. And then the other thing that investors will probably be quite interested to know is their dividend policy is to pay out 100% of earnings as dividends. So that means that if your EPS is growing at a rate of 20%, then so are your dividends. And indeed, that's what's happened over the last 5 years. Right now, they're trading on a forecast dividend yield of around 4.2%, and that's fully franked. So that's pretty good. And again, they pay dividends on a quarterly basis. So you're receiving a regular check. I thought it was interesting just to note, I was reading through the annual report, and David Dicker himself did not draw a salary. He copped some criticism in that he pays his top executives very well. His most senior executive, I think, made $4.7 million in the previous year. But he himself doesn't draw a salary at all. But then when you do a little bit of maths and you work out all of the earnings being paid out as dividends, he owns 31% of the shares, he's doing pretty nicely. But his interests are aligned with everyone else because everyone else gets those dividends too.
That's switching a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, it does show good alignment, and it shows his faith in the business that he's willing to work with no salary, but just rely on those dividends.
Well, it sounds like a life's work, really. You know, he's been there for a long time.
That's right. He's one of these people that's pretty much just completely devoted himself to the business, and that's what he does. He's not afraid to use debt, so it's good to look at the balance sheet, but it does seem quite acceptable. There's certainly debt on there, but the debt to assets are around 31%. The interest covers 7.6 times. The bankruptcy risk rating is very low. So, you know, there's no real cause for alarm when it comes to those numbers.
And as always, with so many of the companies we talk about, the value rating is the only thing that's low.
Yeah, that's right. It has a low value rating, and that really just reflects the fact that it has grown quite strongly. Even over just the last 6 months, the share price has outperformed the market by about 37%. So typically when that happens, all else being equal, the value will drop.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you picking shares on gut instinct, buying on press tips or rumours? Do you struggle to find the time to keep up with the research and analysis that goes into evaluating potential stocks? Stockopedia are pleased to offer a special deal to listeners of this podcast, a 14-day free trial and a 10% discount on the first year of membership. Sign up now at y.stockopedia.com/sfb. There's no better time to access the most comprehensive, easy-to-use investing toolbox for DIY share investors. 10% off, 14-day free trial, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's y.stockopedia.com/sfb.
So is there anything in the outlook that you can see looking forward with Dicker Data?
Yeah, there are a few things that were worth noting just reviewing the statement that they put out with the September results. And that is, they're seeing a lot of growth in the data access and surveillance area. So as we're all too well aware, there's a lot of issues at the moment around cybersecurity. And what that means is that companies are being forced to really invest in making sure they have the best cybersecurity. And part of doing that often means that they need to upgrade their computers, et cetera, to the latest and greatest equipment so as they can make sure there are no problems there. Another thing that is happening over the course of the coming 2 years is that Microsoft will end their support for Windows 10 in October 2025. So that means for a lot of enterprises, they will start to cycle out their older PCs and replace them with newer ones, so as to make sure that they've got the, able to run the latest version of Windows, which also includes the latest sort of cybersecurity protection. So there's positives there. PCs have been in a bit of a downward trend since sort of the COVID period, where a lot of people bought forward the purchase of PCs because they were working from home, etc. So they've been trending down since then, but the feeling is that that has pretty much come to an end now, and it should start to plateau. And then, as highlighted by these coming trends, they probably will see some upturn in that. And of course, they're not only selling PCs, they're selling a whole range of things. AI, of course, gets mooted, spoken about in every technology company's presentations. These guys are no different. In their case, there's two ways that AI can have a positive impact on their business. One is that there's a trend towards using PCs that can have the computing power to run generative AI at the user's PC level. And of course, to do that, you need a very powerful PC. The other is enterprise-grade AI solutions. A lot more governments and organizations are looking at those types of products, and Dicker Data is a major provider to those types of businesses.
I can't believe it. I bought my very, very highly powerful PC only a couple of years ago, and it won't run Windows 11. I'm going to have to upgrade as well.
Yeah, it just moves far too fast, doesn't it? Yeah.
So let's have a look at the risks. And I was having a look at a couple of analyst reports, and one of them, Morningstar, said that the danger with this business is it has no moat. Does that really mean anything to you?
I know what it means. I wouldn't be too worried about it because I don't actually agree with it. So the reason I would say that is that this industry is a very competitive one. There are two major competitors and then a whole bunch of smaller competitors to Dicker Data. The reason I say I don't agree with it is that the way a company like this keeps on winning is that they've worked out a formula that works, and I'll go into what that is. They've been compounding their annual growth rate at 20% for a long time. To do that, you've obviously got some sort of competitive edge. You can't keep doing that otherwise. And their competitive edge that they're very, very focused on is being efficient. And by that, they look to fulfill orders on the next day. If you order today, you'll receive the goods tomorrow. And one of their operating maxims is to keep their net profit margin at or above 2.5%. Typically, the competitors are operating with a net margin of 1 to 1.5%. Now, they're very tight margins, either one of those is very tight. But if you were able to operate with a profit margin that's 1% above your competitors and you can retain that year after year after year, then you have a competitive edge. If you didn't, that margin would get eaten away. And if we look at their five-year average net profit margin, it's 2.7%. Now, one of the things that really drives them to meet that is that their executives are incentivized heavily to beat that target of 2.5%, as that's where they start to get a profit share incentive. And their lead executive, who I mentioned earlier, was paid over $4 million. That 100% of that is based on that incentive target, right? So people criticize that, yeah, he gets paid a lot of money, but the thing is, he only gets it if the business succeeds. And so they have been able to achieve those goals. And to me, that's their competitive edge. That's their moat.
Okay. And Goldman Sachs has Dicker Data as a sell at the moment. And one of the points they make is the amount of capital that they spent on their warehouse at Kurnell in southern Sydney.
Yeah, okay. I don't tend to give a lot of consideration to broker recommendations, in all honesty. But
Is that a general thing? Would you generally say that for investors?
I would be careful what I say, but brokers are smart people, so you don't want to just dismiss out of hand. You don't want to be cocky about it. And they're looking at these businesses day in, day out. But I do believe in doing your own research and looking at your own metrics and forming your own view on these companies. So I would say that, the reason that you might consider it as a sell is that, as I mentioned earlier, the value score is low, and that's largely driven by the fact that the share price has really rallied. But value is only a half or even a third of the equation. You've got to look at other factors too. And this company scores very well in terms of its quality score and its momentum score, which is why it was one of our top ranking stocks. By all means, have a look at their analysis and don't dismiss it, but I focus on other things personally.
And so that's quite a positive then, the warehouse at Kurnell, because it actually did cost a bombshell to set up.
Yeah, well, it would, but obviously they've done that so as to improve their competitive edge, their distribution capability. And as we just talked about, it's the fact that they can distribute really efficiently that really sets them apart. And to do that, obviously, they're going to have to invest. So, yeah, without having crunched the numbers on that particular investment, I would imagine that they've thought about it very carefully and crunched the numbers and decided that, yeah, it makes economic sense.
Yeah, and just on the ESG side of things, it's you know, that's in a position very close to a national park and some wetlands in southern Sydney, and they are taking a lot of trouble in terms of making sure the water quality and what they're doing in the environment around the warehouse is actually helping everything around it.
Yeah, no, well, that's great. I mean, that obviously costs money, but it's good to see that they're taking a long-term view, considering the environment in their actions as well.
So any final thoughts on DDR?
It's not exactly about DDR, but I thought it was pretty curious. Mr. David Dicker is quite the motoring enthusiast. And in fact, he really likes his fast cars. He tried to buy the Formula One team Williams. That was unsuccessful. So then he tried to set up his own Formula One team. That got knocked back just recently by the governing body of Formula One. He owns a property in New Zealand and has two full-size racetracks on that property. So yeah, he likes his motor vehicles.
The hobbies of the rich and famous, huh?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Chris Batchelor, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Phil. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for listening to Shares for Beginners. You can find more at sharesforbeginners.com. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.